You're listening to Dynamite Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, saints and sinners, you're listening to Dynamite Fallout with your hosts, Chuck and Lee, and Christian Killjoy, brought to you by World Generation Podcast Network. And now, Dynamite Fallout.
Welcome to Dynamite Fallout. Thank you so much for joining us. It is great of you to do so tonight. I am Internet Radio's own Chuck Elite. And with me as always, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for my good friend, my brother Christian Killjoy. How you doing tonight, Christian?
I'm doing great, my brother. We had a fantastic show tonight in AEW Dynamite. It felt like a pay-per-view tonight.
Oh, man. I'm still stoked about that show tonight. It was, man. And, you know, it's funny because just 2 weeks ago I was complaining, talking about how, you know, we needed some people to come back. They didn't have the star power, although it got better for me a little bit because some of the people I was starting to care a little bit about, some of them pipsqueaks we've been seeing from time to time. So some of the things were good and some of them were bad. But tonight, man, with, you know, CM Punk's recent arrival last week and then tonight, the elevated feud elevating between him and Jon Moxley, man, what a great show tonight.
Yes, it was.
So we get started with the show tonight. Let's move on into it.
They're
going to open off with the star power, and that's exactly what happened. So tonight's show came to us from Charleston, West Virginia, in the Charleston Coliseum, a real shithole, is what I'm told.
Yeah.
But
not only that, the show was presented by the new premiere of The House of the Dragons on HBO Max. That's Game of Thrones prequel. So that's what the whole presented by this whole show.
But are you watching this? Like, do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, I don't watch.
No, me either. You wouldn't catch me watching this shit dead. None of it. All that make believe shit. No, the only make believe shit I watch is John Wick. That's as far as it gets. And I'm not even too sure that's make believe. But I digress. So. CM Punk makes his way out to the ring, gets a monstrous reaction. Everybody's chanting, you know, singing the praises of CM Punk. So he gets in the ring and he starts talking. He's talking about how he has some business to attend to since he's been, you know, gone for a while. He goes on to say some not so important things, you know, that he has some not so important things to take care of. And then he's got some very important things to take care of. So he challenges Hangman to a rematch. And I guess that's what that was, huh? The not so important part? Think that's what it was that he was referring to?
Yeah, because it showed the Hangman was a bitch because he did not come out. He didn't show up. And, you know, I don't know where that goes.
Bro. Last time we saw Hangman Page, he was wearing fucking butterflies on his jeans. How the fuck is he going to come out and face CM Punk with butterflies on his jeans? Come on, man.
The bitch even turned down an opportunity to be part of a tournament for a trios tag title. The bitch.
That was some real cowboy shit. And so Punk said that it was some coward shit, actually. He said... that if Hangman doesn't come out, he says that that's not some cowboy shit, that's some coward shit. So he took a jab at Hangman Page. He said that if anyone has any problems with him, that they can come out right now and express those issues. He kept on saying things like, you know, am I lying? Am I lying? Which it was funny because he was not lying, but it was the way the audience was booing him somewhat. Some of the audience, not it got a little polarizing out there at moments. Did you feel that? Did you feel that, like a little bit of, you know, John Cena
the
type
truth,
with
the truth from the fans
and the pool from the haters?
The truth fucking hurts, and the truth is, Adam Page is a fucking coward. I'm sorry. He decided to stick around with the fucking loser club instead of being with the Young Bucks tonight. He's a fucking bitch. Adam Page is a bitch.
Indeed. So, yeah, and it's interesting to see where he falls into this equation coming up. I don't think there's any more room for Adam Page. I think he'll end up going back to, you know, ROH or something. I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with Adam Page. But meanwhile, CM Punk moves on, continues talking shit, brought up John Moxley. He says that Moxley may be number one in, you know, some of the fans' hearts, evidenced by, you know, his entrance. But that he isn't number one in AEW. He says that he is the champion, not Moxley. And so he says that Moxley has always been number two, whether it was, you know, it's been here or there, it doesn't matter. He's always been number two. He's referencing, he said that Moxley was the third best guy in his own group, referencing the Shield.
Well, it wasn't his group. It wasn't his group.
He also said that Moxley talks about breaking bones a lot, but that it's all talk because CM Punk's been, you know, seeing more broken bones than anybody in the last several months. And those were his bones.
Yeah, shattered foot.
Yeah, his own bones. So needless to say, he brings up the word interim because, you know, we have an interim champion in John Moxley. So he brings up the word interim. And he says that it means temporary. And so he's willing to test himself against Moxley. And but he's not even willing to test himself against his best friend, he says. He then calls Kingston the second best Kingston that he's ever been in a locker room with. He took a jab at Kingston.
Yeah, he also made a reference to Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, yeah. He says that he hasn't defended his title, but he intends to do just that at All Out against, you know, John Moxley. So he goes on to say that Moxley isn't even the first John he's ever beaten in Chicago for a belt.
Yeah.
And then he certainly isn't number one in that category either. So he was making several references here. Your thoughts on these references?
I think it was great, you know, while, you know, when WWE did it, you know, this Monday with the whole Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens promo bullshit. CM Punk said, hold my fucking beer, I could do it fucking better.
Mm. Oh, that's great. That's great stuff. So then Moxley comes out, and, you know, I enjoyed the promo, too. I was thoroughly enjoying this promo. Then Moxley comes out. He's had enough, so he makes his way through, you know, the crowd and shit, as he normally does. Meanwhile, Punk was doing snow angels in the ring.
He did that, and, too, on WWE 1. He made another reference with that. He did that in WWE 2, snow angel.
Could he be seeing signs? Could he be one of the wrestlers that they're talking about?
No,
that might go back to WWE
not.
Because, you know.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not because he hates Triple H. Absolutely not.
Well, there you go. That's out of the question, according to the watchdog. So let's move
absolutely
along.
Absolutely fucking not.
It's
he's
an absolutely
never going
not.
Back to, He's never going back to the company that fired him on his wedding day. Never.
I can't say I blame him either. Fire me on my fucking wedding day. So let's move along then. So Moxley comes out, he's taunting Punk about, you know, dropping pipe bombs. And he also mentioned about him writing checks that his body can't cash. Meanwhile, he was, you know, dangling his foot while he said that.
Moxley also said that
Punk
that
is the best wrestler in the world in his own mind. But he's not even the best wrestler in catering.
He also said that the reason why Punk came here is because he ran out of money.
Yes. Oh, my God. What do you think about that? The personal shit?
I don't know if that's true. I mean, maybe, maybe not, but who cares? At least he came back to wrestling. It doesn't matter why he came back. If it's a money issue, that's fine. Who cares?
I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if it's issues or not. The fact is that he's back, and, you know, now he's making money again, and, you know, that's a good thing. You know, that's a damn good thing, actually. So, yeah. And plus, he's very entertaining. He's very entertaining.
Yeah.
He's more entertaining than Moxley, I will say.
Yeah, John is just John. That's all I could say.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. He's good at everything. He's good at what he does and stuff. But I'm on Team Punk, man. And it was really good the way they changed words out there and everything, man. Moxley was talking about how he's the heart and soul of AEW, and he went on, you know, to talk about how every time that they say they'll use the word interim, that it makes him sick. And
so sick that he threw the title down to the ground.
Yeah,
the title.
Yeah. He's like, fuck the title. Punk says he'll prove it at the pay-per-view, and so that's where we're headed. They started shoving each other, and then they went after it for a little bit until, you know, security hit the ring, and then we had a little melee for a good little while. I don't think it was overdone. I thought it was done just right. I thought that this is a great way to get the fucking feud going. You know what I mean?
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. It's not going to happen at the pay-per-view now. It's not happening at the pay-per-view no more.
What? Well, what did I miss?
The World Championship match is next week.
Oh, fuck. Next week on AEW?
Yes, they moved it to next week's
God.
Dynamite. Well, something else is happening at the pay-per-view for the world title.
Well, shit, man. I mean, you know, just like that, AEW has picked up. I mean, I'm fucking thrilled, bro.
Which means that a certain three-letter word wrestler might be returning next week.
A three-letter word
MJF.
Wrestler.
MJF.
Oh, fuck. I've been wondering where he's at, where the fuck he's at. In fact, I was going to text you about it last week, and then it slipped my mind. Where the fuck is MJF? I don't want to hear it, though. I don't want to hear it. I just want to be
surprised.
Don't
worry. I don't know where he is. He disappeared.
Good. Yeah. And that's good. That's a good storyline, too, if he's disappeared. And then if he appears out of nowhere, that'd be fucking great. But I digress, so we move along. I mean, I thought that was great, a great opener. Next thing we go back with Ricky Starks and his deal with, you know, Hobbs. They have a little back and forth, keeping their story alive on TV while they're not wrestling.
Yeah.
And so then they show Ricky Steamboat. All of a sudden, out of nowhere. That was a surprise to me. I never have liked Steamboat. but it was good seeing him there. And then he had a little segment later on, which we'll talk about, and I'll share my feelings on that. Keep in mind, though, I never have cared for Steamboat, but I digress. So we open up a two out of three. Yeah?
It's because of the show for HBO Max. That's why he showed up. It was Dragon Theory.
Oh, okay. So. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense. He's a dragon. They had their own little dragon out there. That's good. That's good, actually. Yeah, you know, like I said, I never have liked him, but it was good to see him. I was not opposed to seeing him out there at all, even though I've never cared for the guy. So next we have the 2 out of 3 falls match with the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, and William Regal, versus the Dragon Slayer.
Actually,
I don't think
William Regal even showed up.
I didn't see him.
He wasn't there.
I didn't see him. Where the fuck was he? So I don't know why I said with William Regal. I guess it's just a habit, but or maybe I'm just reading this from somewhere. Who the fuck knows? But I digress. So, dude, these guys had a great fucking match. They beat the shit out of each other for us on TV tonight. And I was fucking, I was like, man, dude, I was in heaven watching this shit tonight. I mean, they beat the fuck out of each other out there, dude, with everything they had. They left it all out there in the ring. Both guys were bloody at the end. It wasn't overly bloody, you know what I mean? But still, you could tell that they put a lot of effort into this match. It was a long match.
Yeah,
I mean, they beat
the
you know, it was a you know, 2 out of 3 falls match. Garcia took the first one.
Yep, Garcia won by a knockout, which is like a submission hold, but they got knocked out, so Garcia won with that, right? Danielson won by a roll-up for the second fall. And then the third and final fall, Bryan Danielson won by a knockout with the lapel lock. That's what happened.
Garcia fucking passing out.
Yeah.
Awesome fucking match, bro. I fucking loved it. So many reverses and submissions and shit. I mean, it was just a badass match. It was very intense. Thoroughly enjoyed this match. Garcia, man. He's the standout of that whole Jericho Appreciation Society.
And
it's good.
And that's
it's good to wait the storyline that they're moving in. Go ahead.
And that's why they're going to turn him babyface. Because one, after the match, Jericho attacked Bryan Danielson from behind, right? And Garcia stopped him. And the fans are cheering for him for that. Because he's the most over and legit guy in that fucking shitty ass stable. I'm sorry. The JAS is a fucking shitty stable. It's garbage. Fucking they made Anna Jay cringe. Jake Hager is always useless. Sammy Guevara is barely around, you know, because he's too busy with his fucking wife.
Yeah.
The other two schmucks are terrible. I'm sorry, Daniel Garcia is the only, besides Jericho, Daniel Garcia is the most over in the whole group.
Which begs the question, Swami, how long does this stable last before, I mean, we already saw seeds of, you know, Danielson moving on, possibly being Danielson's understudy or something. I mean, they put a hell of a match on, bro.
It's probably going to be, at All Out, it's probably going to be Chris Jericho versus Danielson or Chris Jericho versus Garcia at All Out.
Man. You know, the one of the best parts of that match was there at the end, you know, when Danielson puts his hand out to Garcia, who was, you know, thinking about shaking his hand, and then Jericho comes in and fucking, you know, starts beating the shit out of fucking Bryan from behind. But then Garcia pulls him off, and pushes Chris Jericho away. But the best part of that whole thing was the fucking crowd, bro, chanting, "You're a wrestler."
Yeah.
That was the best part, dude.
Yeah, and wrestler.
Yeah, because, you know, how he says that he's the best sports entertainer. What the hell does he call himself? The best sports entertaining technical wrestler, he says.
Yeah.
So the crowd recognizing him as a wrestler tonight, I thought that was very telling for the future that this kid holds. I think he's got a brilliant future ahead. He's got to be young, dude. He don't look like he's over 25. And he's definitely getting I've never seen or known of this guy anywhere else, but he's definitely taking his fucking lumps. And now they're putting him in these. I mean, he's under Bryan Danielson's wing right now, for crying out loud, bro. How good does it get? You know, he was marking out in there, bro.
Yeah.
In his mind, he was marking out, getting beat down by the fucking American Dragon, bro.
Yeah.
By the Dragon. So, anyway, great stuff up until this point. I mean, I was totally fucking, I was just flabbergasted. I was so fucking in awe of the show tonight up until this point.
Yep.
I was like, man, I don't know if it's going to get any better than this or what.
And it did.
So we move along, swerving our glory backstage with Private Party. Talking shit, keeping their storyline going.
What storyline? This is a new storyline. It just started.
Oh, well, my apologies. You know what? You're right. This is a new story. I was thinking about the other guys that we'll talk about later with, you know, the dad. But let's move along. Thank you for keeping me straight on that. Yeah, this is a new storyline with Private Party. They're gonna go on to fight this Friday night on Dynamite. I mean, on Rampage, and
that's
I think
nice.
I'll be tuning in. Huh?
That's nice. That's a good match.
Yeah, I think it'll be all right. I think this will be good for them. Next thing you know, we get Tony Nese in the that gets ready for a match. He's getting ready for a match, but that never really, you know, transpires.
Yeah, but you know why? Because Stone Cold John Moxley comes out of nowhere and beats the shit out of Tony Nese. And then he
calls
out
Did you say Stone
CM
Cold
Punk
John
again.
Moxley?
Yeah. And then he calls out CM Punk out of nowhere. And then CM Punk does come out, and then they try to fight, but the security team stop him again. So that was another brawl.
Yeah, another brawl. And I thought this was going to go on all night, but then it didn't. And but I was okay with it. Like, I didn't really think about it anymore. I'm not too sure if that's what I wanted or not, but I thought it was going to go on all night at that point. I was like, oh, shit. And it'll probably end in this brawl, right? But I was also thinking, bro, that the pay-per-view was going to be this week. And then later on, I went on to see that it's going to be in September. But now, I'm telling you, man, I'm fucking thrilled to death, bro, that this match is going to be next week. We're going to be sitting here right now talking about it next week.
Yeah, because there has to be a reason why they moved it next week. And I think it's because MJF is coming back next week. I don't know why, but I have a feeling he's coming back next week.
You heard it first right here on Dynamite Fallout. The Swami has a feeling that MJF returns next week to AEW, and I, for one, will be thrilled to see that because he was also entertaining. All these guys were hurt. He was still going. He was the only one keeping the company on his back, and the next thing you know, he leaves for whatever reason, storyline or not. But I, for one, would be thrilled if he returns next week. Moving right along, my friend, we go to...
But the ass boy.
Shivani in the back with Jericho. He says he's going to give Garcia a pass for what happened because, you know, he had such a physical match and all. He says that he wants to talk to Garcia face-to-face in the ring and that he wants to make sure that he knows, you know, whose side Garcia is on. So then,
Ricky.
Jericho makes his way. Yeah, this is Jericho makes his way on out, and Ricky Steamboat. No, no, he's still there. Ricky Steamboat walks up, and he talks about Garcia, how he's coming into his own, and that he doesn't need Jericho or his group.
Yeah,
his fucking group of nobody.
Jericho standing there having like PTSD flashbacks to their to his. Three-on-one handicap match at WrestleMania. With all the legends, Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, and then some other fucking legend.
And then Steamboat goes on to say that if anyone should mentor Garcia, it should be Danielson. That he would be the better choice. So then Jericho fucking loses it, talks about how he hasn't liked Steamboat for 15 years. Tells him to stay out of his business. But then that one kid, that stupid punk, I don't even know his name, to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been seeing these guys on TV every fucking week,
horrible.
Bro. And none of none of their fucking names, Christian.
They're fucking horrible. They're cringe. They're fucking horrible. The only reason why I know the black hair one, the only reason why I know the black hair one, the fat, the chunky face one, is called Daddy Magic. It's because of a YouTube video. That's the only reason why I know his name. I don't know what the other guy's fucking name is. He's a joke.
Yeah. So any this dope squares up against Steamboat. He gets in Steamboat's face and tells him to stay out of Jericho's business.
Gets in his face. He literally grabs him by the neck.
Yeah. Didn't he have a neck injury?
No, I don't think he had a neck injury.
But anyway, whatever, right. So, but then Steamboat fucking smashes the kid.
That wasn't a normal punch. That was like I think Steamboat would be fucking pissed. Like, don't fucking grab him like in the throat like that. That was kind of over the top right there.
A bit disrespectful. But, dude, I've never really cared for Steamboat until that moment. Seeing him fucking deck that dude was the highlight of me watching Steamboat. Like, I really enjoy. I can't stand that fucking punk. So to see Steamboat fucking take out a little bit of steam on him, that was good. That was good. Cool. Even though if he did put the kid over by letting him grab him by the neck like that. I digress.
Yeah.
The Varsity Blondes versus the Gun Club.
This segment was fucking horrible. This was horrible. First of all, Brian Pillman Jr. has been looking like a fucking schmuck since coming to AEW. First, he loses his girl to the fucking House of Black, and now he gets fucking squashed in a 10, was it even, it was like a 5-second match. He gets punked by the ass boys of all people, the ass club of all people. and then the ass boys turn on their dad, you know, Billy Gunn, right? So it's like, It's like a double turn. Because they were already heels, and yet they turned heel on their own dad, who was also a heel. And so they beat the shit out of him, and the Acclaimed saved Billy Gunn, and now Billy Gunn's with the Acclaimed again. What the fuck is this?
I knew you'd have something to say about this. They ended up hugging it out. the Acclaim and fucking Billy Gunn ended up hugging it out, bro. What the fuck? the part that I can't get my mind off of, though, is how much Brian Pillman Jr. looks like Kip Winger. And you don't know who Kip Winger is, but He used to be in a rock band back in the fucking, I guess, late 80s, early 90s, I guess.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. back in that day, there's a bunch of pictures of him without a shirt on and shit. He had long hair and, like, kind of like a pretty boy persona. And that's what fucking Brian Pillman Jr. has fucking morphed into, bro. An 80s fucking rock star.
Loser. He's a loser. I'm sorry. He's a loser. He's not his dad.
That's what he's fucking morphed himself into. I was cracking up when I saw his ass. But anyway, that segment, I found it entertaining. And it may have been that, I know you didn't like it, bro, but I found it entertaining. I think it had to be that aspect of the double heel turn or whatever the hell you want to call that shit. There's all kinds of heels out there, and I was loving it, bro. You know, Chuck Elite's always been a heel, as you know. But I digress. So Billy Gunn now, again, with the Acclaim, hugging it out. And then we had Sanjay Dutt and Lethal in a little rant about FTR and Wardlow. So then we had that guy Singh daring Wardlow to powerbomb him. So how much you want to make a bet that on Rampage or next week's episode we'll see Wardlow powerbomb Singh?
I honestly think that's going to be a match at the pay-per-view.
Ah, oh, a little steady build for the pay-per-view. I think they're setting us up for this pay-per-view. I think it's going to be really good. I think it's going to be one that I rent or that I buy or whatever the hell. I bought one a couple of pay-per-views back. I really enjoyed it. The last one I didn't buy it because it was the one with all the Japanese stars that I didn't really care for. I think this next one coming up, I think it's already looking promising. But I digress. Next thing you know, we had Jungle Boy coming out. No, the Death Triangle comes out.
So, well, they don't really come out. They just talk backstage.
Little backstage promo, pre-recorded. Maybe they did it on Wednesday. Who knows? On Monday or over the weekend. Who knows? But they had a backstage, or even last week. They had a backstage promo. Pac, the bastard, went on to say that he and Will Ospreay have some, you know, unfinished business. Yeah. So he's looking forward to next week. And I got to say, man, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, you know, we saw that Will Ospreay and I'm looking forward to this segment next week already.
This match, yeah.
I've never cared for any of these guys, but they can go, and they can put on a hell of a match, and I'm looking forward to watching it.
Let's just hope nobody takes off fucking Penta's mask, because that's the only raid they fucking lose, apparently. Every time they take off that guy's fucking mask, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They take off the mask, it's over. Then we get Jungle Boy coming out, talking about how he's been trying to, you know, hit Christian for weeks with his fist, a chair, and even a chair.
A car,
I mean. He tried to run him down, and it's criminal, bro. Nothing but sheer criminal. The criminality. But the Christian hasn't done anything. He says that Christian, he starts calling him a pussy.
Yeah.
But then Christian comes out and, you know, he refuses to face Jungle Boy, bro.
He says
this thing between them has gotten out of hand. But that he's really proud of him.
Seriously, really? Fucking Luchasaurus getting suspended is getting out of hand, really? You're not going to mention the fact that this fucking Tarzan-looking motherfucker trying to run you over with a car. That's not getting out of hand. But Luchasaurus getting suspended is getting out of hand. Okay, Christian.
Yeah. 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 He tried to run him out of tried to mow him down with a fucking car. It's not out of hand then. But suspend Luchasaurus. Oh my God, it's out of hand now. Yeah, the ridiculousness. They definitely lost their train of thought. Something went down there. I don't know. Something went down there with the writing, or maybe they lost it while they were in ring. But yeah, that didn't come off too good. We've seen better from these guys. Maybe it's overworked. Maybe they put too much thought in. Who knows? But I was not entertained this week by this by these guys.
You? So Jungle Boy.
I mean, I have been entertained by this story, bro. But this week, like, it just it's got too much.
Yeah. So the Canadian tried to weasel his way out of the match. Jungle Boy attacks him. Christian has the upper hand for a little bit, but then Jungle Boy counters it. And then he curb stomps Christian's hand through the steel steps, and he injured the Filthy Canadian.
Yes. That was probably the best part of the segment. He was trapping Christian's arm on the step and started stomping the shit out of it until security runs out and pulls him off.
No, in kayfabe, right, this doesn't do him any favors, because if he does get injured in kayfabe, you won't get the match anyway. So good thinking there, Tarzan.
Yeah. Good thinking on the booking.
Yeah.
Mr. Khan. Yeah. Backstage, we had FTR and Wardlow talking shit, challenging Lethal's group to a trio match.
The former Pinnacle members.
Yes, thank you. To a trios match, Wardlow says that it doesn't matter how big someone is, that everyone can get the power bomb. So, yeah, we'll see some power bombs coming up. Without a doubt. Tony Storm versus Killian King.
Oh, I didn't care for this match at all.
I didn't even watch it, bro. I had to go make the rice for the dinner tonight. So
it
that
was
a good, time to make the rice, bro.
It was just a regular women's match. Tony Storm versus a jobber from Dark Elevation. Tony Storm won, but I think Thunder Rosa's turning heel, because if you paid attention when Thunder Rosa was clapping for Tony, her tag team partner, by the way, she looked upset. It was like one of those sarcastic claps, like saying, "I like you, but I'm gonna fucking end you."
One of them claps.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, Thunder Rosa turning heel. Christian thinks so it will be.
I mean, she needs to turn heel. She's not a fucking good champion. I'm telling you right now.
She's not
a
good
baby face
champion.
She sucks.
The pay-per-view is September 3rd or the 4th, somewhere around there.
It's 4th.
September 4th, and I've been saying all along that they put the title on her so they can make a big stink about it, because it's going to be, you know, Latin month or Latino month or Latino culture or whatever month coming up in September. So I was thinking that they were going to, you know, make a big to-do about it, you know, and tout the fact, if you will, that, you know, they have a Latina champion during that time of the year.
She didn't even,
however,
she didn't even win.
Tony Storm might beat her at the pay-per-view, bro.
She has to beat her. She, Thunder Rosa didn't even win it at a fucking pay-per-view. She won it on a fucking St. Patrick's Day fucking Dynamite. She didn't even win it at a fucking pay-per-view.
Are you calling Tony Storm, bro, or an early call?
Yeah, I want Tony Storm to win, because Thunder Rosa sucks. She sucks, bro. She can't cut a promo. She's boring as a champion. She hasn't done nothing, bro, since winning the title. She's done nothing.
I have to agree. I think that I will be proven wrong. Or maybe that was the plan. You know, we'll turn her into a great champion by the time, you know, the Latino month comes around, and we'll have her as our champion. But then she fucking just fizzled out. Like, she never even took off, bro. It's been a horrible fucking reign. And you have to, you know, you can't just say it's the booking. At some point, you have to say it's the champion. The people just aren't fucking interested in the champion. I was making rice tonight during the champion's match. If she was exciting and entertaining, guess what? My ass would have been in that fucking chair. The rice would have had to fucking wait.
Oh, they're hungry.
But that wasn't the case. Get the fucking title off of her. What I say. Fuck it. So Storm won by pinfall with a spike DDT. And
yep.
That was pretty much that. The Best Friends cut a promo on the Trust Busters.
Hello. Yeah, Sonny Kiss, by the way, is a grown man dressed up. Either his gimmick is that he's a drag queen or transgender. I have no idea. He's joined the Trust Busters. Very odd choice. But I guess they wanted him to be on TV, so I don't know. How do you feel about Sonny Kiss,
Mr.? No, I have not seen it. I didn't see this segment. I was still working on my rice, bro. I'm just reading this off the script tonight. And going by what you said.
He turned heel on Rampage.
We came back from commercial break, and that's another part that I missed, where they announced that Moxley is going to be facing Punk next week.
For the world title unification.
And they also announced that Rosa will be defending the title against Storm at All Out. That was when I walked back into the room when they were making that announcement. We get the entrance for Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Well, the Bucks came out, their traditional fanfare.
Andrade's group came out first.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you for that, Christian. Andrade's group comes out, I knew they were going to lose. Unfortunately, this match was, I knew what the outcome of this match was going to be because of the storyline. There's no way that Andrade and them are going to go on to be the trios champions. I don't see that happening. They might be contenders at some point, and they probably will be, and they should be.
Well, not anymore. But, no. Not after what happened after the match. No.
Oh yeah. You're right. So yeah, they're up in question. They're up in question now. Yeah. So there you go. Perfect ending to what happened in the match because, the Andrades and them, they ended up losing the match, obviously, to
Kenny
the
Omega,
Elite.
Wait, before we talk about that, can we talk about Kenny Omega's performance?
Absolutely.
Well, you can see it. He's not fully healed, not even close.
Well, bro, he was wearing a big-ass fucking brace on his shoulder.
Yeah, and the fact that he had a whole like vest on his whole body, you know.
Yeah.
He's never wore that in his career. So obviously, this man's not 100%. I say he's 30%, because he can still do moves, but he's obviously still fucking hurting. He's still not 100%. I mean, this man took multiple surgeries. I mean, the one wing angel, which is his finishing move, that was horrible. But I can't blame him for that because he's fucking hurting. I can't blame him for that.
Yeah.
Still, it was a great 6-man tag. It's a great match.
It was. It went to the very end of the show. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The whole match, it was very entertaining. But I find those kids entertaining, the Jackson brothers, and now they've got their, you know, their one and only Kenny Omega back with them. So they're the elite, you know. I've always enjoyed these guys. I found the match very entertaining. The whole episode, bro. And you're absolutely right, Chris. It felt like a pay-per-view, bro.
Yeah.
It felt like a short pay-per-view.
Now, here's the thing that, you know, the ending where Andrade did. So, after the match, Andrade started to unlace Dragon Lee's mask. I don't know why he did that. He should have just waited until after he dropped them on his head to do that shit. Because then you made it obvious that you were going to turn on him. So you should have done that afterwards. Like, what the fuck were you doing? So, yeah, he hit his DDT, and then the mask came off by itself. They turned on Dragon Lee because Dragon Lee lost and, you know, all that shit. So, yeah, that I don't know. Does that even count as a botched ending, the way that it happened, or what?
Yeah, you know, I think so. There was another botch ending that they did, but that was actually the camera work. And it was the part with, I can't remember. Oh, it was the part with the Danielson deal.
Yeah.
And it was the camera work that got botched. They made it back in time, though, but I didn't feel like they should have taken away. No, actually, it was this one. It was this one. I don't remember exactly where it was. I should have wrote it down, but unfortunately I didn't. I just thought about it. But I digress. Dude, so that was a great show tonight. I really enjoyed it. You have anything else to say about this show?
It was a fantastic show, and next week is going to be even more fantastic because we have a Unification World title match. We have another round of the Trios Tag Tournament. It's going to be a great show next week. So see you there, everybody. See ya, motherfuckers.
Well, wait. We're not done yet, though. I wanted to bring up WWE for a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I'm down.
I wanted to talk about what do you think what are your thoughts on the new era, I guess? Are they even calling it a new era, do you know?
Fraud. It's a crock of shit. Don't believe it. It's a fraud. All Triple H has been doing is bringing back his old fucking reject NXT people. He brought back fucking Hit Row last week on SmackDown. He had Dexter Lumis causing fucking, like, random acts of vandalism, like burning dumpster fires. Dexter Lumis, you know.
Man. No, I don't. I don't even know who that fuck is, bro.
And neither. It's stupid. He has him stalking AJ Styles for no reason. Like, he gets arrested twice, right? Fucking, what else happened? The only thing good on Monday was Drew and Kevin Owens talking, and then Bobby Lashley versus AJ Styles. But it's all a crock of shit. Don't fucking believe it. The ratings are still low. It's 1.9 for Raw, and SmackDown hasn't gone to 2 million no more ever since he's taken over. It's 1.9. It's all a crock of shit. Don't believe this shit. This isn't a new era. Like, what the fuck
is
this bullshit?
That's what I needed to hear, bro. That's what I needed to hear. I'm still, you know, I'm still not really watching. I'm still not really watching it.
It's horrible.
So, there you go. That's what I needed to hear right there, my brother.
They have Bayley's group, which I'm not a fan of. I'm sorry. Her group sucks.
Oh, I've seen that. Now I have seen that, dude. You talk about fucking bland, bro. It's Bayley being heel Bayley with two fucking nobodies, bro.
They barely get a reaction when they come out.
Yeah, they're lame, bro. They're fucking lame.
Bailey has gotten, I don't know how it's even possible. She's gotten worse since coming back. I don't know how that's even possible. Her promos are still shit.
So, yeah, there you have it. That is the, we talk about the new era of WWE. Don't believe it. Christian says it's all a bunch of shit. Oh, a bunch of horse shit. And I think that about does it. We didn't take a break tonight, but thank you so much to Friendly Fire Cigars for putting up with our madness. And be sure to check out last week's Party Cast or whenever it was. I think it was 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Them guys did Party Cast. If you haven't done so already. Oh, by the way, Christian Kilgore.
Yeah.
The last episode, we didn't do an episode last week. I had to work, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Bills have to get paid, though. But the previous week was the highest rated episode for Dynamite Fallout. It was very good, actually.
That's great.
The previous episode. Yeah, best rating ever. So, yeah. Oh, fantastic. Also, welcome new listeners. Yes, thank you. And welcome new listeners also now in Afghanistan, bro. I don't know if it's the Taliban or who the hell, but we have listeners in Afghanistan now. So welcome listeners of Afghanistan. Yes, it is great. And, be sure to listen to Chuck Amuck and Christian from Philly this Saturday night, as they bring you the news and entertainment and that kind of stuff on Full Tilt Boogie. This week they will be talking about, well, obviously they're going to be talking about Donald Trump and the FBI raid and a bunch of other stuff. And, of course, you know, bears and maybe some other animals and who the hell knows, those crazy guys over there. But until then, I am Chuck Elite, and for Christian Kilgore, I'd like to thank you all for listening to the show tonight. Have a good night, motherfuckers.
Yeah, good night, bitches.
And we'll see you next time right here on Dynamite Fallout. But I don't have the ending feud, bro. There we go. Here we go. Peace. See you next time, motherfuckers.